that's worth knowing, with attitude that's worth showing. Get ready to listen, let's go. The show is called Maria. Welcome to Maria. For honesty and to the point news, opinion straightforward, you can't lose. Get ready, subscribe, let's go. Welcome to Maria. You know you're gonna hear a lot from guests with credentials that say, I won't let America go astray. The show is called Maria. Get to know Maria. Listen to her truth and views. You're bound to love Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking, at one of my favorite speakers, authors, friends on the show today. And I'd like to say he needs no introduction. It's David Icke, of course. A lot of you here in Phoenix have seen us in October. David has released his newest book, Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, The Lion Sleeps No More. And I will tell you, it is the absolute best book David's written so far. And if you want the entire story of everything that's gone on this planet from day one till the future, this is the book to get. And you can get it right here on site. You can get over to davidicke.com. You can buy it at Amazon. And you can even reserve a copy in case they run out of books. So I'm very happy to have David with me. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Mary. Thanks for that.
Well, David, I have to admit, it took me quite a while to read this book.
I know, it's nearly 700 pages and 355,000 words, 325 illustrations, and 32 pages of original color art by my great friend and artist, Neil Haig. And we've reached the point, Maria, where so many dots are now coming to the surface to be connected that it takes a long time to do it. And one of the great ways that information and awareness is suppressed is we live in a soundbite, 25-second clip of interview kind of world, a vacuous world of mainstream media with no substance. And so when you're actually dealing with a whole different way of looking at life, looking at the world, it takes time to connect the dots, because what on the surface, first hearing, sounds ridiculous, extreme, crazy, it sounds a lot more sane once the dots are connected and the background information is provided for it.
Right. Well, absolutely. And, you know, even as a person familiar with your work, there was a lot that you've written in here that I wanted to read two and three times.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure I absorbed it all. But, you know, I was sharing the information with my listening audience as I was reading the book. So they were getting kind of a play-by-play.
Okay.
And I'm sure that's why so many of them said, you know, well, we try to get the book, we can't get it. And I was like, just reserve a copy right now. What's been the response to this book, David?
Well, it's been phenomenal, really. We've been kind of shuffling along with financial constraints because it takes a lot of money to print a book. And when books go very quickly, then you have to print more, but the money's not come in from the first print, so you get into these problems. So it's a very, very nice problem to be in, and it's a big problem that we've now been faced with, but we're overcoming it, whereby the interest is just taking us to the limit of being able to keep reprinting the book. And it's growing and it's expanding all the time. It's an exponential curve, and I think it's like there's an energy about the book, and I'm not saying this because I've written it. There's an energy about the book because, you know, in the end, I'm a vehicle. I'm a vehicle within what I call the holographic world to bring information out of the other dimensions of reality into this one, where it's been suppressed and blocked up to now. And therefore, the energy of the book and everything, it comes through me, but it's a much more team effort, if you like, across multi dimensions, and I picked the book up, and I wrote it, and I picked the book up, and I feel that the vibe coming from it, and the reason that I subtitle it "The Lion Sleeps No More," and that I saw that picture on the front of the book in my mind, and I tried to describe it to Neil Haig, and he brilliantly reproduced it. For me, the lion symbolizes the real humanity, Mario, the one that's been suppressed, the one that was here before the distortion of and suppression of our true potential, which I talk about at length in the book, how that came about and how they're doing it now. And also, I symbolize the lion, as does Neil in his paintings, as what I call the truth vibrations. The first book I ever wrote after my conscious awakening in 1990 was what I call Truth Vibrations, because very, very early on, I picked up this theme of a vibrational change that was coming. I'd never heard of, 2012 and the Mayan thing, which I think is not quite what people think it is, but it is symbolically part of it. These truth vibrations I learned 20 years ago now were going to do two things. One, they were going to wake people up from the coma. They were going to act like a spiritual alarm clock and pick away at the density that humanity has been manipulated into, so that we could start to connect with higher dimensions of reality, of energy, and energy is information. So the more that we awaken, the quicker we vibrate, the more we can, there quite obviously, like two radio stations connecting, we can connect with higher realms of consciousness, which carry higher realms of awareness and knowledge. And so suddenly our perception of self and the world starts to transform. And my goodness, as you well know, 20 years ago, there was no sign of this, but look now. And the other thing that I learned 20 years ago is that these truth vibrations, as I called them, I called my first book on the subject Truth Vibrations, they were going to bring to the surface all that had remained hidden. And there was no way that hidden could remain in the shadows as this energetic change started to impose itself. And bingo, look at the information that's circulating now that wasn't 20 years ago, that wasn't 15 years ago, that wasn't 10 years ago, even that wasn't a year ago. And so what seemed two decades away as what is going to do what? Now I can see from the perspective of where we are now, it's actually happening, and it's getting faster and faster and faster. I mean, you will have come across this as much as anybody. People who, as I travel around the world, who you never would have thought would have opened their mind from the box are doing so, and they're doing so massively. The speed or the time between the world's not quite like I thought it was, I feel that, to, hey, I get it, he's getting smaller and smaller and smaller in so many people. We're in a time of extraordinary transformation, of extraordinary rebirth of human consciousness, and it's just incredible. I have such a buzz from it because I can see it now. It's not sometime never over the rainbow. It's happening.
Absolutely. Well, what's interesting, when you look at most people would say is a bad thing happening in the news today, what it's really doing is, the worse these things are, it seems, the more people wake up. Like this oil spill in the Gulf, look how many people have now woken up to the problem of offshore drilling, the problem of transnational corporations, the ineffectiveness of their own government. And then you look at this Israel attacking that flotilla of peace workers, and how the entire world now has woken up and wants to kick Israel out of the UN. Why people are now talking about the USS Liberty. It seems the worse the event that these controllers try to pull, the more they're helping people to awaken.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, funny enough, I was having a conversation last night with someone about exactly this. And the point I was making is that part of the effect of the truth vibrations, like I just said, bringing to the surface all that's remained hidden, is for these hidden forces to be forced into the public domain, where people can see what they're doing. And I used exactly the example that you just used of the actions of Israel. Mm-hmm. See, over the years, Israel, which is not a home for Jewish people at all, and that's just the front. And Jewish people as a whole are fundamentally manipulated by those that control them as much as anyone else. But in many ways, over the centuries, more so. What I talk about in the book is not Jewish people, but Rothschild Zionists, because the Zionist organization, the Zionist network, is actually actually not a symbol of Jewish people. It's been made to look like that. It's actually a secret society at its core, a political system at its, and the way it plays out publicly. And it was created by the House of Rothschild, who couldn't give a damn about Jewish people. They've hung about to dry so many times. And they could still fundamentally control it. Israel is not a homeland for Jewish people. It's a fiefdom of the Rothschilds. And some Rothschilds who've broken ranks have actually said that. Mm-hmm. And so what's happened over the years is that they've set up a pincer movement. On one side, they've been using Israel and Zionism as a method and a network to manipulate global events. And on the other side, they've set up Rothschild Zionist organizations like the Anti-Defamation League, B'nai B'rith, and the various so-called Jewish congresses, mm-hmm. To target anyone that gets too close to the truth as a racist and anti-Jewish and all the rest of it. It's been difficult. I've been branded as a racist, not so much recently, because anyone reads my books and my philosophy will realize that I'm saying that racism is not only horrific, it's stupid, it's juvenile, it's ridiculous, and it's a fundamental confirmation of ignorance of the way reality is and what we are, which is in the end one consciousness expressing itself in infinite different ways. But it's been difficult because when you talk about Israel or Zionism, people immediately say, because that's the way it's been set up, you're anti-Jewish. That's not true.
Right.
I've got a racist birdie cell in my body. Like I say, I think it's ludicrous. It's one of the ultimate confirmations. You haven't got a clue who you are, where you are, and what reality is. But what's happening now, as you quite rightly say, like today, and there was a big shift. There was a big perception shift when Gaza was targeted for the last time, when they were pepper bombing that slither of land, the most occupied, densely occupied piece of land in the world virtually, from the air. And it was just slaughter, cold-blooded slaughter. Now, that was a shift, and it was part of the truth vibrations. It was part of bringing to the surface what before had been done more covertly. And what's happening now with this flotilla, as you say, has taken it to another stage, because Israel, along with America, but it goes further than that, because the House of Rothschild and its networks control the American government as they control the Israeli government. And so when people like, that great American comedian Bill Hicks used to call the American administration the bully of the world, well, Israel is also the bully of the world because they're masks on the same face. And this explains why the American government, no matter what the economic situation is, no matter how people are suffering and how the debt increases, mm-hmm. financial, quote, aid to Israel is never questioned and does nothing except stay the same or increase. This is the same reason why Israel, I've driven virtually around it in a day, that tiny piece of land in the Middle East, has got the second biggest F-16 fleet in the world, second only to America. And the reason for that is one hand of Rothschild Zionism, the American administration, doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat, is handing to another hand of Rothschild Zionism, which is Israel. And this is why no matter what Israel does, virtually, unless they have to by the pure public reaction, it's never criticized by the American administration, whether it's Obama or Bush. And this is why they go for Iran and they say nuclear weapons, they mirror nuclear weapons and all that stuff. And yet, it is literally, and I'm not exaggerating, though I should be, it is literally U.S. government policy, as it was with Bush, so it is with Obama, that America never talks about or asks about the nuclear arsenal of Israel, which is massive, and Israel never says if it's got one or not. It's like this agreement, and yet Iran not even got nuclear weapons yet,
right.
And everyone's the same people that never mention the capability,
right.
of Israel say we must have sanctions and we must mm-hmm. consider invading Iran because they might get nuclear weapons. This stark, absolutely blatant bias and injustice comes from the fact that the American administration, like the British administration and the French administration and the German administration, and so we go on, is actually controlled by the House of Rothschild, and therefore Israel can do no wrong. But the truth vibrations are bringing a change in public opinion about this, and it's going to be much more difficult from Israel from now on.
Absolutely. I mean, I've seen just in the past week, David, so many stories about Israel's nuclear arsenal. First, because they put Mordecai Vanunu back in jail. So that made the papers for
right.
him exposing their nuclear plant at Dimona. And second, when that leak came out with this new author who said that in 1975, they tried selling nuclear warheads to South Africa.
Right.
So now you have a petition at the UN to have Israel open up to the non-proliferation treaty. And Israel's pissed off because so far the United States hasn't said, don't do that to Israel. But the whole world woke up to that.
Yeah, because what's happening, of course, is events now playing out in the public arena are putting the American administration in a serious situation of what do we do? Because those controlling the American administration want to support Israel, but to support Israel publicly in the light of what Israel does. I mean, look at what they did in the Emirates, in Dubai. They just blatantly turned up using British fake British passports, killed a Hamas leader, and walked away and basically stuck a finger up at the world when the British government on the surface, not behind the scenes, complained about this through Rothschild Zionist Foreign Secretary David Miliband at the time. He's in the new government now. Mm-hmm. They basically said, well, what you can do about it?
Right.
The arrogance of these people is now coming to light, and they've overstepped the mark. And, you know, I'm sure you have it in America, but we certainly have this phrase in Britain. Give someone enough rope and they'll hang themselves.
Absolutely.
And they have become so arrogant, so full of themselves, so it doesn't matter what we do, no one's going to stop us, that they have actually started to overstep the line. And it is part of this transformation. You're absolutely right, Maria. It's bringing to the surface what people didn't want to face. And what we need to do, and I'll tell you another thing too, just actually before I go on. I spoke in Brixton Academy, a 2,500-seat theater in London about, no more than 3 weeks ago. And I explained all this at length. I went into the background of Zionism, and I went into what the Zionists do. And I went through the American and British administrations and pointing out that the Jewish population of America is about 1.7%, less than 2% anyway. And a very important point, a significant number of Jewish people are not Zionists. They don't support it. In fact, some organizations vehemently oppose Zionism and support the Palestinian cause. There's people in Israel, wonderful, wonderful young people who go to jail because they refuse to serve in the Israeli defense forces that are doing horrendous things to the Palestinians. But once you establish that the Jewish population is less than 2% of the American population, and then you take off that part of that 2% that is not supportive of Rothschild Zionism anyway, and then you list the people, not only in the Obama administration, but in the Bush administration, it is utterly, utterly staggering. And then you look at the head of the World Bank, Rothschild Zionist. You look at the head of the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, Rothschild Zionist. You look at the head of the European Central Bank, Rothschild Zionist. You look at the who runs Goldman Sachs, which is a front for the Rothschilds, Lloyd Blankfein, Rothschild Zionist. And so you go on and on and on. You go through Obama's czars, including this guy Cass Sunstein, who either wants to, he says, either ban conspiracy theorists or tax them for having those opinions. I mean, you really couldn't make it up, but then again, with these people, you don't have to. And you look at Carol Briner, you look at Steen, the two people that basically control climate change policy, which is another scale. And you go on and on and on. You look at the head of the CIA, George Tenet, at the time of 9/11. You look at the people who own the World Trade Center, Lowry and Larry Silverstein.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the fact that they negotiated to buy the lease of the World Trade Center just literally weeks before 9/11, and massively increased the insurance for any acts of terrorism. And they did that negotiation with the New York Port Authority, headed by a Rothschild Zionist called Louis Eisenberg. And I went on and on and on, because you can, showing these connections and the unbelievable, staggering ratio of Rothschild Zionists to positions of power. Mm-hmm. And if I'd have done that 5 years ago, 3 years ago, there'd have been boos.
Right.
There was just wild applause, because people have had a bellyful of this hypocrisy. They've had a bellyful of people claiming to be God's chosen people, and above all else, shouting racism at everyone else for getting close to the true nature of the House of Rothschild and its networks. Mm-hmm. They've had a bellyful. It's not going to be as easy from now on. There's a fundamental change in perception.
I don't know about just that. I think that people are so fed up, David. I think people want to start taking these people out. I mean, they're just disgusting.
Well, that's a very good point, Mary, which I was just going to go on to. What is sad, and this happened in Nazi Germany, is that the vast majority of Jewish people who don't want to manipulate anybody are being tarred with the same brush and painted in the same light as this tiny network around the House of Rothschild who were doing all this. Mm-hmm. And what happens is these guys, they have their escape routes. These guys have their protection.
Right.
And Jewish people as a whole take the consequences for the manipulations of these people. That's what happened in Nazi Germany, and it happens in other places. It's the Jews. No, it's not. It's not.
Right.
It's Rothschild Zionism. That's what it is. And Jewish people are, if anything, its biggest victims.
I agree. You know, it kind of reminds me of years ago when I covered with Galen Ross, the Protocols of Zion. And, you know, they basically said, you know, once they got rid of the Gentiles, they'd be getting rid of the Jews, too.
Well, as you know, having read the book, Mary, I go into the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, because it's very, very important. The protocols are claimed to be the minutes or an account of the first Zionist conference, Rothschild Zionist conference in Basel, Switzerland, where I'm speaking from now, not Basel, but Switzerland. In the late 19th century. And let's just say this first of all, because it's very, very important. That first Rothschild Zionist Congress, was held in Basel, Switzerland, but it was originally planned to hold it in Munich, Germany. The reason it wasn't held in Munich, Germany, and had to be moved to Switzerland was opposition from Jewish people in Germany, who vehemently opposed the plan to ship vast numbers of them out to what was then Palestine. They had to move it because of the opposition. And then what happened is that in 1920, the Times newspaper looked at these in London, looked at these protocols, and they made what was actually quite an obvious connection. I mean, you know, don't let people tell you what to do and what to read. If you give them a read, and you can get them on Amazon, I think, still, and then just read them dispassionately, and then look at the world as it's been manipulated in the last over 100 years now. And they mirror each other. They
exactly.
mirror each other. So the Times newspaper wrote an article in 1920 saying, hold on a second. Have you seen what these protocols said? And have you seen what's happening in the world? What's going on? This is too close. And so something had to be done. So in 1921, obviously under tremendous pressure, the Times newspaper produced a series of articles alleging to discredit these protocols as a fake and a forgery. And if you mention them any time since 1921, right up the present day, people, particularly those of the left in politics, what I call the robot radicals, who just, you know, the heart on the sleeve and do no research whatsoever. They just want to be posture themselves as pure. I'm pure, I'm anti-racist. Well, actually, I find, I don't know whether you, Mary, I find some of the most racist people are people that claim to be anti-racist because they see race in everything, whereas I don't. I just see consciousness in human bodies of different kinds. But the thing is that they never ask the question, which I did when I was researching this, okay, well, let's have a look at these articles. What's the background? And it turns out that the articles were written by a British intelligence agent who worked with Lawrence of Arabia, T.E. Lawrence, who manipulated the Palestinian people to fight with the British during the First World War to remove the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Ottoman Empire control of that land, telling them that they, if they fought with the British and removed the Ottoman Turks in the First World War, they would be given independence and the right to govern themselves after the war. What actually happened was that the that land of Israel was already designated for the Rothschilds to take it over. Mm-hmm. And so after the First World War, instead of giving independence to the what we now call the Palestinian people, as promised for their help in removing the Turks and helping the British, the League of Nations gave Palestine to Britain as what they call a British mandate to run. And then that was eclipsed in 1948, went through enormous and horrific terrorism. The Rothschild Zionists took control of Israel, where they've been ever since, and removing more and more of the Palestinian population by the hour. So the articles were written by a British intelligence agent who worked with T.E. Lawrence, who was responsible for lying to the Palestinian people to get them to basically hand over control in the course of events to the Rothschild Zionists. Now, the next question, Maria, is, okay, well, where did he get his information from? Well, bloody well. He got it from Alan Dulles. Alan Dulles of the infamous Dulles family. Alan Dulles was the first civilian head of the CIA after the Second World War. His brother John Foster Dulles was the Secretary of State at the same time. Alan Dulles was implicated in the Kennedy assassination. Mm-hmm. And Alan Dulles is a front man, like John Foster Dulles was a front man. He's gone now, of course, of the House of Rothschild, who used to sign his letters to German associates before the Second World War, Heil Hitler. And this is the man who provided the information for the British intelligence agent to write the articles for the Times this is how it was, they've been discredited. Mm. And where did Dulles get his information from? Well, he got it, he said, from a Russian emigre who was never named and who negotiated a, quote, loan from the Times newspaper on the understanding that it would never be paid back. And so this is the subplot in the background behind the protocols have been discredited in articles of the Times newspaper in 1921. That's what you get. Right. And then when you say, well, hold on a second, just dispassionately look at what they say they're going to do and look at what's happened. They're mirrors of each other. It's staggering.
I know.
But they're not interested in that, as you know. They're not interested in that. Times newspaper, 1921, that's all they're talking about. And yet those articles were clearly planted,
right,
because people were asking too many questions and making too many connections between what they said and what was happening in the world.
Right. Well, you know what ties in a little with what you said earlier when you were talking about how small a population of Zionists there are in the United States. The one thing you left out, and I think it was Pat Buchanan who got his head handed to him a couple of weeks ago for this latest Supreme Court pick, Elena Kagan.
He said,
with her in office, he said that would make, he says, with the Jews, and he made the same comment basically that, you know, the Jewish population is like 1% in America, but we end up with 33% Jews on the Supreme Court, and the rest of them are Roman Catholics.
And of course, Kagan is a vehement proponent of, like Cass Sunstein, of destroying freedom of speech and bringing in all these hate laws. And these hate laws are not to protect minorities. They are to protect the House of Rothschild and its networks from exposure. That's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I totally agree. But it is kind of interesting because when you look at it, what you end up having on supposedly the Supreme Court of America is you have Zionists and you have Jesuits.
Yeah, exactly. They stitched the whole thing up. And, you know, I say to people, what is that ratio of people in power? And it's not just in government. I mean, look, Mary, at the two prime controllers, and they are controllers, handlers, nothing less, of Barack Obama. It's the White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel, and it's the David Axelrod, the senior White House advisor. They are the immediate people around Obama, with Axelrod, of course, the man who oversaw his campaigns against Hillary Clinton and against John McCain, and now oversees the words to which he is welded that appear on his teleprompter. So he's a completely controlled man. Even within the White House, the House of Rothschild is in complete control. Rahm Emanuel's father actually and openly flaunts it, was a member of the Irgun terrorist group that bombed Israel with other Rothschild Zionist terrorist groups into existence in 1948. A stream of Israeli prime ministers since its formation in 1948 have also been members of terrorist organizations that bombed Israel into existence, while then having the nerve, the audacity, the staggering beyond words hypocrisy then to condemn the terrorism of others.
Right.
And it's a situation where, like I was going on to say, if you said to people, if that ratio in the American government, as it is overwhelmingly in the British government, were Chinese or black Americans or French or Australian, people would be going, what's going on? But because they're Rothschild Zionists, you mustn't say anything. It's that thing that must not be spoken, because you're going to be called racist. I don't give a damn, frankly. Call me what you like. I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I'm interested in the truth and bringing an end to this cabal of control, suppression, manipulation, and unbelievably grotesque violence. And if that means being called a racist by these ignorant people, then so be it, because this has to come out. It's fundamentally, it's a massive part of the boil that has to be popped.
Oh, I totally agree. And, you know, it's in Brooklyn we had an expression, David, it takes one to know one. So when somebody's accusing me of being a racist or whatever, it usually is just a mirror of themselves. Anyway, let's go to a short break. When we get back, we're going to dig into The Lion Sleeps No More. So stay with us. Dave and I will be right back.
10th year on the net and still going strong. How does Maria do it? She does it as a work of love at a time where she can't think of anything more important to do. Consistency, determination, a heart as big as all outdoors. Maria brings you the best people on the planet on every topic under the sun. For a full range of total education, bust free of the market of lies and fear we currently live under. Google Maria Heller and enjoy her videos and links to other great sites. Follow along on Twitter with Maria Heller. Check out her MySpace and Facebook too. Maria Heller. You may think she's crazy, but it just might be a lunatic you're looking for. Come home to a safe place where intelligence and class rules. The Maria Show. Subscribe today on site www.maria.net. That's M-E-R-I-A. Now back to this fantastic show.
Okay, I'm back. I'm speaking with David Icke. We're talking about his latest book, which isn't even an option to buy, Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, The Lion Sleeps No More. You know, David, back in the 60s here in the U.S., you may have heard it, there was a very popular song that was called The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Yeah, that's right. That was kind of in my mind, kind of flipping that. that he doesn't sleep tonight.
Right.
The lion sleeps no more. That was kind of the flip of the subtitle.
Yeah, but, you know, I remember as a young preteen whatever when that came out. I don't even remember who did it, and I'm sure one listener will tell me who eventually. Singing it all the time, you know. And maybe that was part of, you know, dulling us down. You know, I've covered with Dave McGowan how much our music in the 60s was created by military intel children to dumb us down. And I wonder now, I'll have to look at that too. When you talked about the energy of this book, something a lot of people don't know, you know, back in the day when I was first getting started on my spiritual journey, I had read some books where some people had said that the human race was seeded by these people that were half lion, half human. I think they said it was from a planet called Lyra or Lyria. And I've always kind of felt a lion-like energy, you know, coming and going in my life. And since I already asked you if it's okay to share, after our last show, or maybe after we were together in Phoenix, I had offered to do a reading for you.
Yeah.
And in the reading, I had said to you, I think it was one of the first things I got, and it was so strong, I had to tell you, because sometimes it just sounds crazy to me. I said, David, I'm getting a lion around you so big, so much lion energy, and you just giggled.
I know. I laughed and laughed, because you didn't know this, but, you know, the subtitle, The Lion Sleeps No More, the theme of the book, The Lion Sleeps No More, the cover with the lion's face painted and the earth painted on the lion's face, that was all finished when you said that. And I just laughed and laughed, because you couldn't have been more accurate.
Right. And then, bingo, there it is. You said, wait till you get the book, Maria, and you'll understand. And when I saw the front cover, I just laughed, and I said, wow, you know, sometimes when we get our intuition or our spiritual vision, as humans, the human part of us tends to want to discount it, because sometimes it just seems crazy. But then you realize that it's, you know, it's exactly what you need to say and exactly what really has to go out there.
What thinks it's crazy is the conscious mind, which is programmed to see the world in a certain way from cradle to grave. So when you opened your intuition, it's telling you something different, because you've now opened to a much higher level of consciousness awareness, and it doesn't see the world or your actions or your journey or the experiences that happen to you in anything like the same way as the programmed conscious mind. And people are stuck in mind, body, mind, and they see themselves, therefore, as Ethel Jones and Arthur Smith, and I'm just Joe Public, and I've got no power. And they see everything as apart from everything else. They see everything as physical, which it's not, and therefore, if it's physical, it must take time to change, because it's got such density, and you can't change physical very quickly. But the physical is just a holographic manifestation of the non-physical, and the non-physical can change in an instant, and therefore the physical can. This is what people don't realize. And once you get into some kind of intuitive awareness, suddenly it's telling you a view of the world and guiding you on a path and guiding you to perceptions that are fundamentally at odds with the conscious mind, because it's coming from a completely different level of awareness. Mm-hmm. And what I found very interesting, I don't know what Cameron himself was symbolizing by this, but from the perspective that I'm looking at the world from, particularly in this book, the Avatar movie is spot on. First of all, I found it interesting that you had the lion-nosed people, the lion-nosed blue people,
right,
in Avatar.
Uh-huh.
And you had a people who were on that moon Pandora, totally and utterly in harmony with their environments. They communicated with the plant life. They communicated with the animal life. Everything was connected to everything else. And that, for me, when I look at the ancient legends around the world, no matter where you go, you come up with this golden age when humanity had enormous potential and was in a very, very different state, as the energetic construct of the Earth was. And then in came the predators, in came what I call the reptilian race, although not only them, but I think they're the core of the control system. And if you take the American military in the Avatar movie, who came in with their complete desensitization of perception of the blue people and their interconnectedness, and how because they were so interconnected and saw the interconnected of everything, they must have been primitive when they were opposite from that. It was the American military coming in who were primitive, and they came in with their so-called high technology, and they had resources under the center of the blue people's civilization, and so they had to destroy that to get to these valuable resources. The mentality in the Avatar movie of the American military is the very mentality of the predator race that came in and hijacked this planet and hijacked the human mind. I go into it in great detail how it happened and how they do it in the book, in the Avatar movie, from the blue people. And you know, this lion energy, this lion symbolism is so powerful, not just in that movie, but generally, that I wouldn't rule out for a second that there's some kind of lion type genetics from somewhere else in the universe that is or has been asleep. I mean, here we go back to the song you talked about,
right.
Maria. It has been asleep, has been right. suppressed, has been slumbering like Sleeping Beauty within the hearts and within the consciousness of humanity. And it's starting to awaken. It's starting to stir. Mm-hmm. It's like when they give lions these sedatives when they're going to do operations on them, and slowly the lion starts to stir, and as it starts to stir and starts to wake up, the humans are out of that cage so fast. And when humanity's real self starts to stir, and it is, it's not the majority yet, it's nothing like, but it's starting and it's getting faster all the time and more powerful all the time, then this control system, which seems so powerful and so omnipotent now, is actually going to run for its life, and it's coming down. I've never been sure of anything in my life.
Oh, I totally
agree.
It's
coming down.
I totally agree. You know, it's kind of funny now that you talk about this lion energy. You know, my moniker through the years on the radio has always been the mouth that roars.
Oh, yeah, of course it does. Yeah.
You know, I didn't even think of that, David. So right now, I'm like, uh-oh. But, you know, I always tell people, you know, America, and it's not just America, but of course I refer to America most of the time because I live here. I says, you know, we're like a sleeping giant. And when we wake up, there's going to be hell to pay.
Yeah, it's one of the strong points I make in the book. And you know, when I do my talks and everything in general, and that is what we're looking at here is not what it seems to be in this sense. The truth vibrations are waking up now, are waking people up, and they're bringing to the surface what's remained hidden. Now, if I could know about this 20 years ago, and I'm in this reality, all right, you might have connections into other levels. Yes, of course. Otherwise, you couldn't do what you're doing. You know, if you work on the conscious mind alone, then forget it. You know, you're going to take a few steps, and then,
right.
you know, it's going to take so long, you're going to be out of here by the time of the third one.
Mm-hmm.
So you are connected and getting guidance from other levels of consciousness that can see beyond where you can see in your conscious mind. But if I can see 20 years ahead like that, not because I'm a genius, but because I came across this information, then the control system, and particularly the basis of the control system, which is entities that operate outside of what we call visible light, the electromagnetic spectrum, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
and therefore they are looking down a different timeline. So they are able to see further down what we call our timeline than humans are. I mean, consciousness in its true self can see the whole journey from source to sea. The human conscious mind can see the next turn on the river. The predator consciousness, because it's coming from another point of observation, can see maybe two, maybe three turns on the river. Not source to sea. It's way, way off that pace, that awareness, but maybe two or three turns down the river.
Mm-hmm.
So they could see this coming, and they've been preparing for it for a long time. And on the surface, if you just look at it from your conscious mind perspective, then what we're looking at is a control system that wants to get more and more and more and more power. Now, I understand why people see that, and I saw that at one point years and years back, because that was the level I was looking at it from at that point. But now that I kind of integrate the consciousness awakening and this Orwellian state that is being imposed as fast as possible all around the world,
mm-hmm.
the two are connected, because fundamentally connected, because actually the Orwellian panic-stricken race to bring in microchips and destabilize the human body computer system through food additives and electromagnetic pollution and all these other things that are being thrown at us, that creating massive chaos in the world, because chaos makes people fearful, and fearful states of being make your energy more dense and make you less likely to connect with higher levels of awareness, higher vibrational levels, the truth vibrations. They are doing what they're doing now, not even primarily to get more power, but to hold on to the power they've already had. Because the greatest form of power, the greatest form of control, is controlling people and controlling a situation while the people being controlled have no idea that's the case.
Right.
So they would rather have carried on as it has been, which is controlling behind the scenes, the population being controlled, having no idea what's going on and what the ultimate controllers are. But these truth vibrations, as they wake people up and people tease open their minds, they start to see the world in a different way. They start to see how it's controlled. They start to even open their minds to the kind of bits, apparently from the conscious mind's perspective, the bizarre things that I'm saying are actually behind the control system. And thus, it's no longer the runs itself self-perpetuating control system that they've had before, because the controlled are starting to wake up more and more. So this is why at this point, as this is happening, and they could see this as they projected down the timeline, that they have timed this Orwellian imposition at this time, it not to get more power, but to put the lid on the expansion of awareness and consciousness that is going to bring an end, absolutely going to bring an end to this control system. We're looking at a cornered rat masquerading as an all-powerful fascist global state. The question is not, is the control system coming down? Because it is, because its energetic construct, its energetic information basis is coming down. Therefore, it cannot manifest. If you put a CD disc in a computer, it will manifest from that information something on the screen.
Right.
You delete that information from the disc and put the disc back in the computer, it will not manifest that on the screen anymore. It cannot, because the information basis which is then projected on the screen is no longer there, so it can't be projected on the screen. There's nothing to project. And as these truth vibrations replace the old epoch, the old vibrational information epoch, which is what we're doing, we're at this cusp of change now, changing yugas as the Hopi talk about. We're changing worlds. We're moving from one world to another world. The control system must fall. The question is not, is it going to fall or not? The question is, how extreme is it going to be before it does fall? And if we start to resist, if we start to stop cooperating with it, instead of acquiescing with it and thinking, oh, it's terrible, but there's nothing I can do, and saying, well, this law's terrible, but it's the law, so I must obey it, then this control system is going to be much more extreme and much more unpleasant before it eventually comes down. If we start resisting now and not cooperating now and coming together now and stop being divided and ruled on the fault lines, fake false lines of race and religion and country and income bracket, then this control system is not going to be anything like as extreme as they plan before it comes down. And what we're seeing, coming round, Mary, to your point about America, what we're seeing is a multi-level, multi-dimensional assault on the United States for many, many reasons. One, it is still perceived as the leader of the world by the vast majority of people still. And therefore, what happens in America has a fundamental impact on the wider world and the way that the consciousness of the wider world perceives events. If America changes, the world changes. That is still the case now. And what they want to do is destroy America. They want to destroy America's sovereignty so they can bring in the North American Union, for instance, with Canada, America, and Mexico, and then the whole of the Americas eventually. That's the idea. Forget it, chaps. You haven't got enough time to do that, okay? You heard it here first. But they're also trying to create as much mayhem and as much economic catastrophe in America as they can, and they're using Obama as the vehicle for this through his Rothschild Zionist handlers in the White House with all this bailout money, which is it just created a massive ticking bomb in the American economy. Of course, the American economy is run by the Federal Reserve, a private central bank headed by Bernard Bernanke, Rothschild Zionist, previous guy from the Reagan-Bush administration, right through to the George Bush, boy Bush administration, Alan Greenspan, Rothschild Zionist, thank you very much, same theme. They're throwing everything they can at America. This oil spill with BP, I mean, please, that's an accident? I don't believe it. And again, look at the devastation to not the American economy, the American way of life in that area, and they're going to throw everything at America because they want to destroy it. They want to destroy its ability to stand in itself in a sovereign way, in a military way, in an economic way. And as I've been saying for years, what they're doing is they're using America to destroy America financially and militarily. Stage one was the George Bush, boy Bush administration, where they got America involved in overseas wars, which they not only can't get out of at the moment, they don't want to get out of it. When they went into Iraq, I said at the time, they're not coming out. Well, they are, because the truth vibrations will bring them out, but they have no intention of coming out.
Right.
All this assault on the American economy, headed by Goldman Sachs, Rothschild Zionist Front, is all designed to destroy the power of America to stand alone and bring it to heel under a world system of centralized control. And it's so important, so important for Americans. You know, it's the land of the free. Well, it hasn't been, you know, for a long time, if it ever was, because the Illuminati, the cabal in Europe, not least London and Rome, have been controlling America as we know it from the start. But if it really is the land of the free and can be, my goodness me, it can be, then people need to now stand up, stop being intimidated by these forces, these law enforcement forces, these government forces, and all the rest of it, and say we're having no more. The lion sleeps no more. We've had a bellyful. And you know, there's a great line in a song: "Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose." Mm-hmm. And we're heading in so many ways, you know. When you've lost your home and you've lost your job and you're living in tents and on pieces of wasteland or anywhere you can get, what is left?
Right. Well,
you know, the greatest freedom is when you have nothing left to lose, because
exactly.
You have nothing left to cling on to at the expense of your freedom. I want to hold on to these things, these trinkets, and to do that, I must concede my freedom.
Uh-huh.
And once the trinkets are gone, the only freedom is left. And this is what is happening, and it's all part of this truth vibrations. As we move to the heart, we move to consciousness, which is beyond trinkets, it's beyond things. Nothing wrong with possessions and all the rest of it. Great, as long as they're an add-on to your life and they're not the focus of it, they're not the meaning of it.
Right.
And that's what we're looking at now, this consciousness shift from I am someone in a physical body called by a name, and I identify with that, and I identify with my job, and I identify with my race, identify with my country, moving from that level of awareness, which is a piece of cake to manipulate and divide and rule, to I am infinite consciousness, all that is, has been, and ever will be, having an experience as my job, my country, my religion, my name, whatever. And that shift is going to bring, and is bringing by the day, more and more people out of the system, so they stop contributing to it. And when we stop holding the house of cards together, the house of cards must fall. And that's what we're going to see in the years ahead.
Absolutely. Well, you know, David, we have, in a way, covered your book today. In a way,
yeah, there's so many aspects to it, and
I guess
and,
this one
you know,
really
I'm delighted to have your support over the years, Maria.
Well, you know, you'll always have it, David, because you know it takes a lot of bravery to do what you do. You know, we won't even get into the flack that I'm sure you're starting to take. I'm already defending it for you.
I'm going to talk in New York in October. I think that could be fun, given some of the stuff that's in the book.
Well, you know,
bring it on.
It
doesn't matter, you know.
Well, you know, when you talked earlier about Avatar, you know, I agree with you on the story of the humans. And people were saying to me, oh, I wish we could live on Pandora. And I said, we do. We've just forgotten.
Exactly.
You know, the Earth is still a beautiful place. We've just forgotten that we used to be able to communicate with everything in nature, et cetera. But it also, I think, helps explain when you start your book out with a lot of your biography, which is stuff I didn't know. I enjoyed reading it. And then you go into how people need to get out of their mind.
Yeah.
When you look at the fact that that soldier with no legs is puppeting his avatar on Pandora.
Yeah.
If that doesn't explain our higher or expanded self puppeting our avatar, our body human, in this illusion, this version of Pandora, I don't know how much easier you can tell people it's just like that.
Well, you know, what's great in this time is, unlike the shaman of the past and the seers of the past who had to symbolize these understandings of reality through the symbols of the time, we have now technology that is mirroring the reality that we're experiencing, not least the wireless internet. And as I say in the book, what I'm saying is that the base construct of this reality is information, and that information takes the form of vibrations, waveform. And that base vibration is coming out of the black holes, which appear to more and more to be at the center of every galaxy. Certainly they say there's a massive one at the center of this one. As this vibrational change or this vibration goes through a cycle, because it doesn't just stay static, it goes through a cycle, that triggers different levels of information from the suns, in this case our sun, in the form of photons, which is encoded information. That's what it is. And then we decode it. The energy going through the meridian lines in acupuncture, what the Chinese call qi, is photon energy. That's what it is. And so with the meridian lines going around and through the planet, the Earth's energy field, it's photon energy and it's information, and it operates in exactly the same way as the wireless internet, where you can pull through a computer with no wires attached to nothing, you can pull a whole collective reality, the World Wide Web, out of the unseen and put it on a screen. Well, that screen, in terms of the virtual reality universe, the cosmic internet, as I call it, is actually in our heads, in our brains. Although even that is only a holographic level of another level of awareness. But and what we've got caught in absolutely on purpose is identifying with the vehicle through which we experience this reality, i.e., what I call the body computer. We also call it body mind. You know, it's interesting. You know, we talk about going on the internet, but we don't. We don't go on the internet. The computer goes on the internet, and we observe the internet, the collective reality, through the computer. And if we lost control of the computer, which has an awareness, especially the body computer, I call it a biological computer, because it doesn't just react to data and program reactions according to data. It actually assesses the data and makes decisions on it. That's what the immune system's doing all the time. I'm not sitting here working out if there's a problem with my leg or my arm or some virus attacking my body. I'm talking to you.
Right.
But my immune system all the time is working that out and reacting, because it has a consciousness. And the situation would be if the person sitting at the desk with the mouse and the keyboard lost control of the computer would be making decisions on where it went on the internet and what it thought of where it went. And this is what happens when body-mind becomes the dominant perception, the dominant filter of reality, at the expense of consciousness, the infinite self. And because the predators and their quote human, I say human hybrid bloodlines, and most predominantly people like the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, many, many others, British royal family, and people running the Jesuits, you quite rightly point out, and so on and so forth, they understand this, and they've structured society to isolate people in the five senses. I mean, you look at the media, look at the world, look at education, and what passes for it. It's all about focusing reality and sensing reality through the five senses.
Right.
And once they pull us into that level, then we're symbolically being pulled into the level of the computer going on the internet and away from the person with the mouse and the keyboard that can decide through the computer where it wants to go on the internet and what it thinks of it. In other words, the level of what I call consciousness has been detached from body-mind. And this is where humans are. They're in body-mind. And what the truth vibrations are doing is teasing open that body-mind to reconnect. Well, if I reconnect, we're always connected to consciousness, but reconnected with an awareness of that consciousness, so that consciousness can then impact on our perception and point of observation of our, of the world we're living in and the events in our lives and what have you. And that's what happens when people say, why didn't I see it before? So obvious. Because you were in body mind before. Now consciousness is accessing your awareness through that body mind, and so your point of observation, your point of perception, the way you see the world, is actually moved from within the computer on the internet to levels of the controller observing through the internet from a much greater, wider perception of what reality is, and therefore, and it's that, coming back to what we talked about earlier, it's that level that talks to us through intuition. And that's why intuition is often urging us to do things, to see things, to go places that are absolutely at odds with what the conscious mind is telling us. The conscious mind is telling us why we shouldn't do that.
Right.
So the choice between head and the choice between that and heart is the choice between being the computer on the internet and being consciousness, observing the internet through the computer. And this is the wonderful, wonderful time we're in now, where this energetic change is opening the computer, body-mind, to consciousness. Everything changes. And the control system is absolutely dependent for its existence on the vast, overwhelming majority of people remaining in body-mind. They ain't going to. That's another reason why the control system must fall.
Right. Well, David, this has been quite the hour, so I look forward to speaking with you again next month.
Okay, Mary, thanks very much.
Thank
look
you.
Forward to it.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye. David Icke, Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, The Lion Sleeps No More. Buy it right here on site. It's quite the book. I will tell you that. I would say it's probably the best work he's done so far, and I wouldn't miss it. I didn't miss it, and I read it all, and you too. I'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening today. Share the information to anyone that will listen. Hold fast to your truth. Tell your friends about the show. Gift a subscription to anyone you think would enjoy it. Tune in next time for another awesome show filled with information, solutions, and great spiritual truths to help you stay happy in a world that seems to have gotten mad. See you next time. The Maria Show. One of a kind.